You're listening to the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the one, the only Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. And thanks again for tuning in. This has been a great season so far. I mean, I didn't expect the reaction that you guys have had to have been the way it has been recently. We've been blowing up in terms of Twitter followers. On Facebook, user engagement is great. The Remso Republic Nation, our private fan group for people like you to join in and hang out with producer Ryan and myself and other guests from the show. It's been absolutely hilarious down there. What's amazing is that nobody wants to talk politics, which I'm perfectly cool with. I'd much rather talk about the latest trailer for Logan or what's going on with the new Star Trek series over, you know, the Trumpster and everything else. So it's a great oasis away from everything political. And the fact that everyone kind of has the same mindset is even cooler. So, you know, it's not necessarily an echo chamber, but it's more of like, I don't know, the echo chamber we prefer, if you will. Speaking of echo chambers, there's something that's, how do I put it? I'm not going to say it's bothering me, because I've noticed this for a while, but I'll be driving home from work or something, and I try and listen to some talk radio here and there to get started. And there are a lot of people who, growing up, I had a deep admiration and respect for. I still do. But here's the thing going into this new year with this new administration. It seems that during the middle of the Obama years, we saw, I'm not going to say a resurgence in conservative radio, but we had people that, you know, they were not afraid to talk about free markets. They were not afraid to talk about constitutionalism. We had people like Mark Levin. We had people like, you know, I just take it back. It's really just Mark Levin. Everyone else has kind of followed the same path for, you know, decades or so. But more so now than ever, it seems that conservative talk radio is now essentially Republican talk radio. For the past year, it was Trump talk radio. And now, since the Republicans have taken charge, it seems that they could do no ill. Don't get me wrong. I've got some favorites in there. Tom Garrett from Virginia, Thomas Massey, Justin Amash, just to name a few. But that's such a small number, and we're just talking federal at that point. It seems that whenever somebody goes against, and let's not call it the mainstream media, since that's tied with liberals, but let's call it, you know, the Republican mainstream media, it seems that now they're following the same type of binary mindset that we attack the left with. Now, we're going to get a little bit more into this, but I want to go ahead and introduce our guest today. If you don't know him, then what the hell is wrong with you? Because he's one of the fastest growing online shows in the world right now. He's the podcaster of podcasters. He's one of the best libertarian voices out there. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Stapleton. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
It's not a problem, man. So, Jason, you kind of heard my spiel a moment ago. This binary mindset that we're kind of getting into, that it's one team or another. I've heard you talk about this for, you know, 7 months now, specifically when it was time for the Republicans to go to the convention and give Trump his anointment and everything else. I want to say I'm disappointed. I want to say that. But we've been shown time and time again that as soon as a Republican is in charge, you better stick with it. You better push it, or else you're just like anyone else. We're seeing this with Megyn Kelly at Fox. People are calling her a traitor. We're seeing this with freaking Nicholas Sarwark for saying one bad thing about Ron Paul. We're seeing this all over talk radio. It's this, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you say one negative thing, you're instantly vilified. If it's not X, it's Z. My question is this. Has binary thinking taken over everything? I mean, is it worse now? Is it permanent now. I mean, it seems that you've got to stick with one or the other. There is no middle ground. There is no safe opinion out there.
Well, I think that there is a point. It's funny because all the things that you say about the Republican Party and the things that I really dislike about Republican groupthink, you find in every group. You find it in the Libertarian group. I mean, you want to talk about people saying one wrong thing and being vilified for it. I've taken my share of licks for things that I thought were harmless discussions. And harmless opinions ended up blowing up into really unnecessary and illogical, irrational responses. And what bothers me most about the narrative and the conversation we're having today, whether it be talk media or mainstream media or Republican mainstream media, as you pointed out, is the fact that everyone kind of works to template. So somebody somewhere, the AP or Washington or someone else, comes up with what the narrative is going to be and what the talking points are going to be and what the discussion is going to be and how it's going to be framed. And then everyone kind of attacks that message. So if it's yesterday, we were talking a lot. If you watched MSNBC or Fox News, they were talking about the kid that had been kidnapped and beaten. Today you've got shootings that are on. This is what when we're recording today. And no doubt tomorrow there'll be something else. And what I've always tried to do, what I always was frustrated by, was that the real story, what's really happening in the world, whether it be here in America or internationally, is being lost because too many people are wrapping themselves up in what is the most expedient discussion of the day and what they think is going to get the most listens or the is going to be the most attractive to their particular audience. And that has always bothered me, whether you're talking about conservative radio or mainstream media, is that nobody is really talking about the things that are going to do you the most damage or should be the most concerning to you as an American.
Yeah, I mean, the suicide path is just it bothers me now more so than ever, because for the longest time, I was thinking Hillary Clinton's going to become president. We're going to have to deal with the exact same thing we did with Barack Obama, but far worse. But at least a lot of these Republicans, at least a lot of libertarians, at least they will pretend to believe certain things. Whereas now, I mean, I've been getting hammered on this for months now. Economist Stephen Moore from Club for Growth, and he was with the Reagan administration. He's with Heritage and Freedom Works. There's a guy that went in to the freshman congressional class going into this new legislative cycle and said, this is no longer the party of Reagan. This is the party of Trump. If he wants a wall, build it. If people want a giant trillions of dollar infrastructure plan, give it to them. If he wants massive tariffs, do it. This is the dude that went around lecturing people on free markets and laissez-faire capitalism for decades. And now it's like this. And I bring up the media, I bring up talk radio, but and I know we could easily go in on this libertarian brutalism, as you've covered on your show in the past, but the thing that bugs me about conservatives specifically, the thing that bugs me about even evangelical Christians, is that for centuries, the conservative intellectual movement and even, you know, West Christianity in the West, it always went against this type of binary thinking. It was always that, you know, you need to come to your own truths based off what is right and what is actually true. And I go to Liberty University. It's the most conservative school in the country. It's the largest Christian school in the world. And I can't tell you how many times I said one negative thing about Donald Trump, and almost automatically I'll have a people swarm around me and say, you just want Hillary Clinton to win. You're a bad Christian. You're this and that, and you're this and that. It's getting to the point where I don't know why, but it's either people have really lazy logic, or it's because they themselves are fearful. Because it's always really easy to stick with the crowd. It's always really easy to stick with that set narrative that you've set forward. So I guess my question is now is, you know, for people like you, for others like us who kind of go against the main talking points, are you kind of afraid we're going to get drowned out by this current wave of people that if you don't lockstep with them, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get hammered some way?
No, I actually I happen to think it's the exact opposite. I think one of the reasons that you're seeing what you're seeing in today, and you point out a lot of specifics that I think and make some good points. I think one of the reasons you're seeing what you're seeing is because you are allowed now to completely insulate yourself from others' opinions. So you go to something like Liberty University and you meet a bunch of people and you say something negative about Trump that clearly he doesn't have liberty as a primary political value. He doesn't hold that opinion. He's very much a dictator, and you can see that in the way he's treating some of these companies that are talking about either moving operations overseas or not building new facilities here. He's dictating to them what he's going to do, or he's going to punish them if they don't do what he wants them to do. He's not a voice for liberty in America. He's just not. And yet you've got all of these people who will claim that they support freedom and liberty, who will attack you vehemently. And I think the reason for that is because they have so insulated themselves to any other ideas, because you can easily do that. You can spend all of your time on listening to Fox News and Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and you just go from one to another to another. And you can't really fault the media outlets for doing it either, because all you got to do is look at Glenn Beck. What happened to Glenn when Glenn started to shift and start saying, well, man, I don't know if I support the Republican Party anymore. I don't think that I support what they're doing. I think I'm going to have an independent thought in my head. You know, audience starts to drop off. Advertising dollars start to wane. Nobody really understands what you believe in because you don't fit into box A or box B. And so I have looked at the next generation, the millennials, who are liberty minded. And the problem today is that those people don't really have a voice. There's nobody who's really speaking to them. I have a lot of military friends who've seen a lot of war and who do not agree with what the Republicans are doing in their advocation for more war and more war with Russia and Syria. They've seen the damage that does, and nobody's speaking to them and their voice. And what I've tried to do is I've tried to be the third way. I've just tried to present an alternative voice that says, listen, this is not about party affiliation. It's not about left or right. I'm not concerned about Republican or Democrat. I'm concerned about liberty or authoritarianism. And if you stand with liberty, I will stand with you. I don't care who you are, what aisle you're from, what you espouse in terms of your own personal, religious beliefs or how you lead your personal life. If you're on the side of liberty, you'll find a friend with me. And on the flip side of that coin is, if you are Donald Trump and you are doing something that is clearly tyrannical in nature, then you're going to catch heck from me. And I don't know how easier to explain it, but I'm not worried about that. I think that these old voices are going to die off. I think that the Sean Hannitys and the Mark, to his credit, has done a really good job of trying to maintain some semblance of principle in his show. But these guys like Michael Savage and the rest of these voices of conservatism, they're aging and they're going to die out. And the question is, what is going to replace that voice? Is it going to be Ben Shapiro, or is it going to be a voice of real liberty, real conservatism, real constitutionalism? And I think that we as guys who really come to this from a libertarian perspective are going to be the ones who decide that in terms of how we're willing to play the game. And what's frustrating to me is that I look at the Libertarian Party, I look at many of the libertarian voices, save a few, and I'm deeply concerned about what I see in terms of our ability to compete with the voices of right-wing neoconservatism in the decades to come.
Jason, I'm glad you bring that up, and we're going to continue that thought. But folks, hang on tight. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Bremzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Bremzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
What are they teaching our children these days? How can so many young people graduate and become socialists? Do they even know what socialism is? Kids are learning how to preserve the environment, or are they learning how to preserve their own liberty? How about introducing your children to, I don't know, these fundamental principles that helped create the greatest, most prosperous nation in the world? I don't know about you, but when I become a parent, I'm going to read my kids The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand. A little bit of Narnia, a little bit of Atlas Shrugged, kids are loving this exciting saga about a fantastical land's struggle to be free. Filled with humor and suspense, Kibblestan is a treat for any kid, or even adults. I mean, I enjoyed reading it. It's for anyone that enjoys reading fantasy. But also, it has the added bonus of introducing some basic principles of liberty as it constantly ponders the question, what does it take for a land to stay free? There's even questions at the end of each book to facilitate conversation with your children, including a student group or a book club. The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand is currently available on Amazon.com, or you can visit www.kibblestan.com. Liberty is worth preserving. Are you in?
All right, folks, welcome back to the program. We have our special guest today, Jason Stapleton. Jason, a moment ago we were talking about the next generation of people coming in. We were talking about the old voices kind of dying out and the next generation coming in, whether or not it's going to be better or worse. The biggest thing that one of my role models, Matt Kibbe, constantly brings up in all his books and all his videos and every lecture he's ever given is that politics is downstream of culture, that unless you want people to actually make change at the voting booth, you've got to check the way they think about certain things, you know, beforehand, because the effect is caused by something that changes inside of a person. And with libertarians, I'm optimistic. A lot of people say that, you know, the libertarian message and everything else has been watered down and destroyed when you talk about the Foggy libertarian, Bill Weld and Gary Johnson and everything else. But at the same time, you look on media, you look online, I've never seen libertarians get the spotlight that they have now. And I remember going back to even 2012, I thought that I was alone in these ideas, and I find you and Tom Woods and all these other fantastic people pushing for it. And like we've mentioned before, there are others that are just trying to get attention. There are others just trying to stir the pot. So going into this new year, do you think we're in a better position to bring this libertarian message to the mainstream, or do you think we've handicapped ourselves?
Well, I think we've got some problems. Podcasting and the advent of alternative media, especially for guys who can start in their basement, it has really given a voice to some third party ideas or I guess third way ideas, like the stuff that you and I advocate for. But we had you talk about Gary Johnson. It's not that Gary Johnson wasn't libertarian enough. I mean, I had really serious problems with some of the things that he advocated for. But what bothered me more than anything was he was a terrible candidate. Like he was just terrible. He wasn't well spoken. He wasn't well rehearsed or well prepared. He did all kinds of goofy stuff, like pretend to stick his finger up his nose and sticks his tongue out at reporters. He screams at reporters, and he's just a terrible candidate. And what happened was that and what happened at the Libertarian National Convention, guys stripping down on stage, makes it extremely difficult for guys like you and me who are trying to create a cohesive and a message that those who are what I call just disgruntled Republicans, they're really jaded conservatives. and saying, hey, you know what? Here's another set of ideas that I think you more closely align with. Let me tell you a little bit about them. See, I think all the things that you dislike about the way the current conservatism in Washington sits and the way the current Republican Party is acting, I think that libertarianism and those ideas solve those problems for you. And I think you might consider yourself a conservative today, but what you really are is a libertarian. And when I talk with people about it, it's very easy if they're already in that position to move them towards libertarianism. Then they go out and they watch the Libertarian Party destroy itself on national television, or they watch Gary Johnson have gaffe after gaffe on national news media. And you say to yourself, well, that makes it very difficult. Now, wearing that libertarian banner and trying to convince people that this is what they should be believing in, and this is kind of the bus that they should be on, becomes infinitely more difficult. And everybody, the problem is, you want to talk about people not wanting to be on teams. And I always say politics in America is a team sport. And as much as I would like for it not to have anything to do with team and have it to do everything with principle and ideas, unfortunately, that doesn't work. Everybody wants a brand. This is why you've got minarchists and anarchists and anarcho-capitalists and conservatives and constitutionalists, and the list goes on and on and on. Everybody wants a special label for themselves that identifies exactly what type of person they are and exactly what they believe. Half of them don't even know what those terms are, but they want a way to label themselves. And if they're going to switch from being conservative and being Republican and wearing that banner, and they're going to change jerseys, the jersey that we're asking them to change to is libertarianism and libertarian. And when you've got a party that is so wrecked and has such bad press, most conservative people in America today are looking at that and like, yeah, those guys are nut jobs. When I talk to you, it sounds normal, but I'm looking at that and that's not something I can sign on to. And unfortunately, when I talk with donors, the same thing exists. They all look at the Republican, at the Libertarian Party as a joke, as a loser of a strategy. I mean, they'll give $1 million to a campaign that'll never win, but because they're Republican, they'll get the money. If you wanted to take the same thing and give it to a Libertarian, it's never going to happen. Because those guys just they look at that and they have such a disgust for what the Libertarian Party has become over the last 40 years, they don't want to touch it. And so when you talk about messaging, it's not just about the ideas. It really is about how do you create a team? How do you create a group that these guys can attach themselves to? And unfortunately, whether you're talking about the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, they have not been able to effectively do that. And that's why we continue to see the two-party system in America.
Now, I agree with everything you just stated. And I think the biggest fault line that many libertarians have in terms of going out and affecting change is this option that you have to do it politically. Because when you look at the avenues that we have, it's either go join the GOP and try and push them in a liberty direction, or try and join the Libertarian Party and get them to actually behave like professionals.
Yeah.
And I think here's the problem that you and I fall into, because, you know, for both our shows, we are marketing ourselves as political programs. We talk about current events, economics, politics, all that jazz. And very few people these days, I think a lot of people have tuned out. And what's bad is that they're tuning out for the reasons that we mentioned at the beginning of the show. It's just the same thing all the time. You've got to pick one side or the other. You know, that audience is probably never going to find us. And that's why I think that culture is going to be such an important thing, because everyone was like, oh, Gary Johnson, he wasn't able to get the 5%. We're doomed. If you look at other philosophical and worldview movements, especially in the past like 16 years or so, the greatest force for that has actually looked beneficial to progressives. It's worked out for liberals because they were able to take culture and they were able to use it so that the politics was easy. I think that John Stewart was one of the best communicators for his terrible statist ideas because he made statism funny.
And, you know, and that's a very good point just in terms of the humor of it. I think that one of the tough things about what you and I do is, and I've fallen into this trap many times, and I'm desperately trying as I continue to build my show into 2017 to move it to a much lighter note, because it's all, if you listen to a lot of these shows, it's just doom and gloom. It's all, you know, the world is coming to an end and the financial system's going to collapse and the whole world's going to hell and there's nothing you can do about it and you better wake up, the whole Alex Jones type of mantra. And unfortunately, I think that does us a real disservice. I think we need to find a way to inject humor into what we do and let everybody know that hey, we've got some serious problems here, but that doesn't mean that life isn't worth living, and it certainly means that we don't have to come in here every day and just pound doom and gloom and sell fear for a living in order to survive. I do think that we don't, that's something we fail at as a group, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying we need a libertarian game show for a while or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for me as a teenager, I remember the only reason why I ever watched Fox News with my family was because I liked Greg Gutfeld on The Five. He made everything just so much more, you know, more funny. And as he's gotten older, as I've gotten older, now he has his own Sunday show. And it's like the comedy subsided because he literally tried to be the conservative Jon Stewart. And it seems that for the conservatives, they've tried to try and tap into that cultural mechanism. But instead of being themselves, they're just trying to be the conservative Stephen Colbert. And I'm seeing it with libertarians. Libertarians are trying to be the libertarian Stephen Crowder, the libertarian, you know, insert funny, interesting celebrity figure here. It's like we're trailing behind them and we're waiting for the left to innovate while we're just going to try and copy the same strategy.
Well, I think what you're alluding to is that our talent pool is light. And I would agree with that as well. I think, I mean, you look at whether you're looking at political talent on the libertarian side, I mean, you talk about the B and C level candidates that we have in every single election cycle. It's unfortunate. And that is true, I think, in media as well. Now, the funny thing is you find really terrible talent everywhere. The difference is progressives and the left owns pretty much all of the major media outlets. So when you do find somebody of talent, it's easy for them to move up the chain. You find somebody who's a libertarian talent and or a liberty talent, and it becomes much more difficult. It's not that those guys aren't out there. It's just that it's really, really hard to find them. I mean, Dave Smith's a really funny comedian.
Oh, he's hilarious.
And, you know. And there are lots of other guys out there that think like him. Adam Carolla, I certainly wouldn't call a libertarian, but he certainly is conservative in his ideas and believes in the ideas of personal responsibility and hard work and building something for yourself and not leeching off the state. And all of those things are things that I believe in, and he's phenomenal. And so even driving people to his show and helping him grow is something that I think is of value, because he's saying a lot of the things and believes a lot of the same things I do. I'm not stuck in this holier than thou type of idea that, oh, well, you have to, if you don't believe in this core set of principles, then we can't be friends. And I have to find every way to condemn you because we don't agree on topic X, Y, or Z. I'm more than happy to come alongside you and support you if we have common ground, and there are lots of good people out there who are talking about this stuff that we ought to be doing a better job promoting, and that also helps us, because if you can get in with one of these guys who's doing it right and can develop a relationship there, that's a chance for you to expand your own brand. And so I work at all levels. Let's just say behind the scenes, we are actively digging all the time to try and make and build relationships that we think are going to have a long-standing positive effect, not just on our show, but on the message. Because for me, everything. You don't do this show. We started doing advertising a couple of years ago, about a little over a year ago. And the show is doing very well right now financially in terms of advertising dollars. We'll generate more this year than your average American earns in a year, significantly more. But the point is, I've taken every single dollar that comes in and reinvested it in the show. I'm not taking any money out of the show. Nobody gets paid to be on the show. Nobody gets paid to work on the show. And all of this, the reason that I'm doing that is I have a desire to make, to reach the highest levels. And I know I'm not going to do that if I eat everything that I kill. I've got to reinvest a lot of that in growing the show and growing the listenership. Because if people find us, if they find the ideas that you and I are talking about, they tend to stay. They tend to say, hey, yeah, I'm not hearing it in talk radio. I'm not hearing it on the news. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been seeking. And yeah, that's the guy. I want to be a part of that. And the difficult part is then they start, and this is always what I run into, is that then they start looking at the Libertarian Party. They start getting involved in libertarian groups and immediately become jaded. And that's unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, Jason, we're going to go ahead and try and end the show on a lighter note if we can. But first, we're going to go ahead and hear a final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be right back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Hey folks, it's Remso here, and I want to talk to you about Liberty on Point. The Liberty on Point podcast is a weekly podcast that examines current events and politics to determine how they affect our liberties. Liberty on Point can be found on all major podcasting apps, or if you can't find the one that maybe you want to listen to it through, you can always go to www.libertyonpoint.com. That's www.libertyonpoint.com. Liberty on Point is also a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Go ahead, check them out, you're gonna love it, and let them know that Remso sent you. Take care.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the program. We're going to wrap things up. We kind of ended on a sour note a little bit, alluding to greater things to come. But Jason, as we, you know, as we start off this new year, everyone, you know, mentally, we just want this fresh start. We all want to be better at something, whether it's we want to be in better shape, we want to be better spiritually, we want to be better financially, something. If we're just talking, you know, the liberty movement itself, what's something that makes you optimistic? Because you already mentioned your show. You're doing a spinoff series, right? Hard to Kill?
Yeah, we're trying to. Yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we had such a big there's, you know, when, anytime you say the term prepper, it's a lot like saying the term libertarian. People instantly gin up. Yeah, yeah. It's people naturally have this idea of what a prepper is. It's somebody who's, you know, canning 20 years worth of food, and they're weirdos, right? They're got gas masks and they're living out in a concrete bunker somewhere.
You kind of want to stay away from them.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're like, yeah, I'm not going to be friends with that guy. Let me just stay away from him. And just a little bit off, right? Has too many guns, that kind of thing. And what I've, over the years, being in the military, working downrange, and now understanding what I do about economics and politics, I just believe in some really practical prepping in terms of having food and having water and understanding what you need to do to survive. And you start realizing how ill-prepared people are to face even the most common of challenges. Like, you know, what happens if there's a blizzard and you're stuck on the highway and now you've got to walk a mile and a half to the nearest exit so that you can call to have somebody come pick you up? You know, well, are you prepared for that? What should you do? And so many people have never thought through that, and they leave and they go through their daily lives without ever considering it. And so I said, we ought to start a show called Hard to Kill. And it ought to be this show that takes everyday situations that people have been in or everyday life events and teach people how to stay alive. And it was such a good idea. We've actually pitched it to a network, and we're working with them to see if it's something that we can get off the ground, because I think it'll make a great miniseries on television. And so we started this podcast, or we're starting it, I guess. You can go search for it and subscribe if you want to already, but we haven't done our first episode yet. And that's the idea, is that we're going to teach people how to be self-sufficient, how to survive really hair-raising and dangerous life-threatening situations that you are likely to encounter throughout your life.
And you see, this is perfect. This is the type of thing I'm talking about, because this is not an inherently political show you're trying to do. It's about something which, you know, I could go to my liberal cousin, and I can go to my hardcore Trump-supporting aunt or uncle, and I could talk to them about the show, and man, they're going to love it.
Well, that's my hope. Yeah, I hope that they're going to like it, and hopefully we can interject some, you know, from free market ideas and some libertarian ideas in that isn't so in your face. We can open people's minds up and kind of loosen up their minds to this idea of, hey, be responsible for your own life. Be responsible for your children. Don't expect the state or the police to come and save you when the chips are down. Because as we've seen, whether you're talking about Baltimore or Ferguson, when the chips are down and your home is threatened to being burned down or your business is being looted, the cops don't show up. So this is, if you think about this in advance, now all of a sudden people are in the mindset that, hey, yeah, the state shouldn't be responsible for me. I really do need to protect myself. And man, that's all you need. That little crack is all you need to move someone from a hardcore progressive to a libertarian and constitutional thinker. That's what we need.
You know, I've got a aunt of mine who's she's a career Democrat. She's worked for her state political party. She worked for John Kerry and everything else. And as soon as you get this off the ground, I'm going to try and get her hooked on your show, and I will let you know the moment she buys a gun. Because I think this will do it. I think this will do it. She won't listen to me because she obviously knows I'm trying to convert her. But if I just say, hey, let's sit down and watch this or something, who knows? Yeah. I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be awesome.
We've gotten a lot of good feedback, and we haven't even recorded our first episode yet. So I am I'm hoping the thing takes off.
Exactly. Jason, to kind of wrap things up, for that one listener out there that might disagree with us, is kind of getting onto this idea, what's your big message for them? What's your big message for those that want to give liberty a chance, or maybe just fall in love with libertarianism again going forward into this new year?
Well, I guess what I say to people is I don't claim to have all the right answers. So I'm not one of these guys who is a know-it-all, who's going to tell you what the right decision is in every single situation. This is what I do know. I know that the freer a society is, the more wealthy and the more wealth and more opportunity is presented to everyone. That even the poorest among us are freer and richer than the richest in countries that are run by socialist or communist or non-free market ideas, I guess. And so what I say is my goal is always to try and move us closer towards liberty, because I know in doing that, that's going to create the most amount of wealth and opportunity for the most amount of people. I want everyone to succeed beyond their wildest imaginations. And that is possible, but it only happens when people are free, when people are free to fail as well as succeed. And when the state doesn't work in trying to constantly improve your life by creating more regulation, less opportunity, and a greater safety net by confiscating your wealth and then giving it back to you in the form of different services or benefits. So whether you believe in what we believe in or not, whether you're ready to say, I'm going to go I'm in the abolishment of the state, or whether you believe in how we need to go all the way back to the constitutional founding of our country, if you will work from a notion that, hey, if a freer people are a more prosperous, a more healthy, and a society of more opportunity, then we're going to be in the right frame of mind. And from there, we can debate, okay, how much freedom should we have? How much liberty is too much? And I'm happy to have that conversation. I just want everyone to understand that the freer we are, the more wealthy we will be, the more opportunity we will have, and the greater lives we will live.
Jason, for that same person that has no clue what we're talking about or anything like that, how can they get in contact with you, or how can they watch your show and listen to your program and everything else? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, easiest way is jasonstapleton.com. We have Facebook, Twitter, Jason_Stapleton is my Twitter handle. You can get me there. But the easiest way, if you want to learn about the show, what I do, just go to jasonstapleton.com. All of the information is there on how to listen. You can get it on any podcasting app that's out there, iPhone, Android, Google Play, iTunes, and go give it a listen. If you don't like it, don't listen anymore. But I hope that you'll find something that resonates with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hardest man to kill, Jason Stapleton. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, brother.
Folks, you heard it from both of us. We have so much baggage as a movement, but what we also have is so much potential to go be amazing. There are many of you out there that are just waiting for that opportunity to go out there and advocate, activate, go affect change. But sometimes those opportunities don't come. It's not just going to be handed to you. God is not going to come down in a burning bush in most cases and tell you, this is what you need to go do now. Because even then you might say, well, now I don't feel ready. But if you are ready, go out and make those opportunities. Frederick Douglass used to say that he used to pray for freedom until he just stood up and walked out and began to carve his own destiny. Go out and do that. Libertarians, whatever you are, if you believe in a freer world, go make a freer world. And what's one thing you could do? Well, you could subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. A shameless plug, I know. But let's go ahead and get this out there. Let's get this conversation of Jason going, and let's go activate a flame of liberty in the minds of millions. Folks, as always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Be good to your neighbor. Be kind. God bless. Take care, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?